Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. I know it's been said before, and you've said it several times yourself, I'll bet, but it is always exciting, I think, to come up to a new year and the anticipation and things that it holds for us and sort of putting behind the things that maybe we're going on in our lives, or things that, you know, whether it's the economy or the government or health or whatever, we all have hopes for the new year, and certainly God is a God of hope. And we're starting a new series here today on the book of Hebrews. And I am excited about that. We're going to cover the first seven chapters in the next 7 weeks, Lord willing. And then we'll take a break, and Rick will be doing some teaching then. And then we'll come back to Hebrews and finish out through the end of that. So hopefully it will be a good time for all of us. You'll see here that we have what we've been calling sermon brands. I think it was Steve that helped us develop the idea of having, if you've noticed, we've been having certain slides or themes, or even the front of the bulletins, that depict the sermon topics or the things that we're covering at the time, starting back with the 31 days of contagious living, and then through the month of October and the harvest theme and different things that we've been doing. And so Steve, to help think about the book of Hebrews, Steve developed this for us. And Hebrews is a book that its main focus is communicating that Jesus is better. And you'll see here that it says Jesus is better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than the high priest. He's better than Abraham, better than the covenant, better than the tabernacle, better than the sacrifices. All things that we deal with daily. Huh? Do we deal with those things today? I mean, we are under the law still, in the sense that the law still sets forth God's character, but we are not bound by the law. We've been set free from the law, and so we're not bound by that. We're not bound by the high priests or the covenant or the sacrifices. Angels are still around, but we seldom think about angels. Today, spiritism might be the thing that depicts our age in a lot of people spirits are, or the spiritual life, the spiritual dimension is a part of a lot of people's lives. Just horoscopes, the number of people who read and look to horoscopes sort of foretell what their days are going to be like, is all a part of spiritism, or different aspects. All of us find ourselves under the law and put ourselves under the law a lot of times because we still find ourselves depending on ourselves to be good enough, to be acceptable by God. And so Hebrews was written to help us think rightly about these kinds of things. So I asked Steve to change it and removed all of those words, words that talk about what the book says and what the author wrote to the people that he was writing to about. And in their day, those things were very, very pertinent and real. Those are the things that they dealt with. And we're in the next couple minutes, we're going to look at why they were important. But Jesus is better. But in order to make it more applicable to us, I thought I would like to start with a clean slate, as it were. And we'll talk about all of those things, but hopefully we'll bring it up to date and make it applicable to things that pertain to us. As we go through, well, you see at the, I should explain this a little bit. I'm the best. No, I'm better. No, I am. No, clearly I am the best. And, you know, watch any commercial and you will hear the theme, I am the best. That's what commercials are all about. And that's what everyone says. And part of Hebrews is telling us that there are still things that we look to besides Christ that in our minds we think of as being better. Now, we may never say that, but in our actions and in our attitudes and in our relationships and different things, we still, in our minds and in our hearts, we still have things that we think of as being better than Christ. And part of that is because we don't understand. We don't understand what it is to have something better than Christ. And in my attitudes and my the longings of my heart to look to things that only Christ, or look to things to produce or accomplish things that only Christ can accomplish. All of us are guilty of that. All of us are guilty of looking to things besides Christ, that Christ said he is the only one that is better. And so as we look at Hebrews, hopefully we'll be able to see those things and apply them to our hearts so that we so that we can change and be different. So that 2012 really can be a happy new year. Like Warren said in his call to worship, that to live a deeper, more committed, more worshipful, more in touch life with Christ in 2012. We all want that. And yet when we talk about 2012, those of you who have Facebook, go back today and look at Facebook entries and see how many people talked about things that they're looking to 2012 to do for them that only Christ can do. And yet they are hoping that something else is out there. So just as an introduction to sort of bring us up to date on, or up to date, we're going to be talking about the date, bring us together on the book of Hebrews. A couple facts to start with. Nobody knows when Hebrews was written. There's very few clues in the book of Hebrews that gives us a sense of we're going to be looking at these things, the date, the author, the recipients, and the response. There's very few clues in the book of Hebrews itself as to when it was written. Some people think it was early, sort of soon after Christ's death, because it talks about the sacrificial system, and it refers to the tabernacle and things. But there's other references that talk about Timothy being in prison or having just gotten out of prison in chapter 13 that that didn't happen, or there's no other recording in history of Timothy being in prison. And we think it's probably the same Timothy. And so that would put it close to the end. So really, the best educated guess that we can come up with is that it was written just before the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple and the overthrow, the demolishment of Jerusalem. So it's very likely that it happened 68, 69, somewhere in there, A.D. The writer is another unknown. Commentators, as you see here, have attributed it to quite a few. Paul, Apollos, Barnabas, Luke, Peter, Jude, Stephen, Silvanus, Epaphras, Philip the Evangelist, Clement of Rome, Aristian, and others. Nobody knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. I grew up, and probably most of you did too, believing or hearing that it was Paul, the apostle, that wrote it. But the style is just so different, and several other facts that tend to make that rather unlikely, although still possible. There's one theologian that wrote, "All that can be said with certainty is that Hebrews was composed by a creative theologian who was well trained in the exposition of Greek scriptures, and he was surely a Hellenistic Jewish Christian." Hellenistic would mean not a Palestinian Jewish, not living in Palestine, not in Jerusalem or the surrounding state there, but probably somewhere else, whether from, you know, being driven out or whatever it might be, but not a part of Jerusalem at that time. And then it also says that the early Christians originally accepted all the New Testament books as inspired by God. All the early Christians, when the canon, the Bible was put together, or actually long before then, during the first couple centuries, when they started accepting what was the Bible, they all agreed that the scriptures, to be a part of the Bible, to be acceptable, it had to be communicated by one of the first century, one of the apostles, or one of the people closely associated with the apostles. And for this reason, the writer was probably either an apostle or probably a close associate of one of the apostles. So someone like Silas or some of the others, Priscilla, Aquila, would have been potential authors of the book of Hebrews. But we really don't know. As far as who it was written to, references in the epistle also suggest that the original readers were mainly Jewish. We know that because all of the references are about Jewish things. So it had to be people who were similar to Galatians, who were forgetting what their faith was based on and moving towards or being pushed back to a confidence in the Old Testament covenant, the Old Testament system. And that's why you have the tabernacle, the covenant, the priests, all those things mentioned throughout the book of Hebrews, is that the author was writing to Jews. But the problem was is that they were under pressure. If it was in the late 60 A.D., 68, 69, they were under a lot of persecution at the time, a lot of people being killed, a lot of people being put in prison, all kinds of persecution. And the pressure was on to move back into Judaism, although all the Jews were under persecution, but there was pressure to move away from Christianity. And so you had this, or the likely prospect is that they were Jews, but not a part of Palestine. References in the epistle also suggest that the original readers were mainly Jewish. That's what it just said. The writer assumed that they were very familiar with the instructions of Judaism, the warnings against turning away from Jesus Christ back to the old covenant also imply this identity, probably Jews living outside. I think I just said all that, didn't I? Got ahead of myself. Sorry. The purpose. Why was it written? It's pretty clear that the author was trying to help people understand that the gospel message in Christ, trusting in Christ, was the better way to go. That Christ put away the old covenant and we are now under the new covenant. One theologian wrote this: the writer's goal was to establish the superiority of the gospel in contrast to all that went before, particularly the Levitical system. The primary evidence of the supremacy of Christianity is presented in its finality. Why would this theologian say that Christianity is presented in its finality, or the fact that Christ is better is the final solution? Coming to Christ means final access to God without any barrier. One of the things we're going to see that Judaism at that time, now, and all